सर्वीर्यंतर्वहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। एवं प्रवर्तितं चक्रं एवं प्रवर्तितं चक्रं नानुवर्तयतीवयः अगायुरिन्द्रियारामः मोघं पार्थ च जीवति। एवं प्रवर्तितं चक्रं नानुवर्तयतीवयः अगायुरिन्द्रियारामः मोघं पार्थ च जीवति। यस्मात्मरतिरेवस्या आत्मतृप्तश्च मानवः आत्मन्येव च सन्तुष्टः। तस्य कार्यं न विद्यते। यस्मात्मरतिरेवस्या आत्मतृप्तश्च मानवः आत्मन्येव च सन्तुष्टः। तस्य कार्यं न विद्यते नैव तस्य कृते नातः नैव कश्चन न चास्य सर्वभूतेषु कश्चिदर्थव्यपाश्रयः नैव तस्य कृते नातः नाकृतेनेह कश्चन न चास्य सर्वभूतेषु कश्चिदर्थव्यपाश्रयः। तस्मादसक्तः सततम् कार्यं कर्म समाचर असक्तो याचरन् कर्म परमाप्नोति पुरुषः। तस्मादसक्तः सततम् कार्यं कर्म समाचर असक्तो याचरन् कर्म परमाप्नोति पुरुषः। कर्म नैव हि संसिद्धिम् आस्तिताजनकादयः लोकसङ्ग्रहमेवापि सम्पश्यन् कर्तुमर्हसि। कर्म नैव हि संसिद्धिम् आस्तिताजनकादयः लोकसङ्ग्रहमेवापि सम्पश्यन् कर्तुमर्हसि।
Lord Krishna in verse number 16 says, the wheel of dharma revolves, rotates, the way in which it was mentioned in verse number 11, 12, 13, 14 and 15, basically 14 and 15. How everything emerges from dharma, yajna, and how yajna emerges from brahma. Therefore, he says, one must perform his actions in accordance with yajna. By performing actions in accordance with yajna means in the spirit of service and sacrifice, dissolving the ego, identifying with the larger cause and performing, thus slowly he dilutes his ego and completely dissolves it and merges with Brahman. So the way to be materially prosperous as well as spiritually enlightened is yajna. So he says, he who does not follow here the wheel thus set in motion, living in sin, dwelling in senses, indriya rama, means he is identified with his ego, which is identified with the body, mind and intellect, and all the time he is living only to fulfill his pleasures of the
senses, body, mind and intellect.
So he is wasting his time, because he will get something which will come and go, and he will continue to be dissatisfied and he will destroy himself completely. So on the contrary, he is talking about a person who is doing yajna activity and slowly moves towards the Atma and completely exercise with the Atma. He is going to talk about that person in verse 17 and 18. We will chant verse 17.
Yes, Swam Bharati Re Vasya, Atma Drupta Shya Manavah, Atma Drupta Shya Manavah, Atma Neva Cha Santushta, Atma Neva Cha Santushta, Tasya Karyam Na Vidyate, Tasya Karyam Na Vidyate, Yes, Swam Bharati Re Vasya, Atma Drupta Shya Manavah, Atma Neva Cha Santushta, Tasya Karyam Na Vidyate.
Hi. Swami, one question. When we say yajna, do we mean yajna as to do everything in the spirit of surrender, or do we mean the Agnihotra ritual per se?
See, Agnihotra ritual per se is also what is meant. But it is not just doing Agnihotra ritual. What he is talking about here is
just
apart from that, doing anything you must do as. See, Agnihotra ritual is something that is prescribed for the grahastha. Right? A grahastha's obligatory duty, one of them is Agnihotra ritual. Right? So it is not just performing Agnihotra ritual, but also in today's context, Agnihotra ritual may not be of that relevance. Therefore, what is being mentioned here is, whatever is your obligatory duty, what is to be done with reference to your role as a grahastha, as a mother, as a father, as a student, brahmacharya.
That in the spirit of yajna.
Yes, you must do it in the spirit of yajna. What is the spirit of yajna? And what is the opposite of spirit of yajna? Simple in the relative sense, Tera Na
Mera.
Right. See, in the beginning,
no judgment.
Basically all that is, understand this concept what he is trying to say here. Basically, just aim this. If you are doing actions with Kartrutva Bhava, then those actions will bind you. You do action without Kartrutva Bhava, those actions will not bind you. So, whether the action of doing or not doing, if it is underlined by Kartrutva Bhava, meaning doership,
yes,
you will be bound. Even a person may be sitting quiet, not doing anything, but inside he has this Kartrutva Bhava. Kal maine kaam kiya, kal main kaam karogi, karungi, but aaj I am remaining silent. Means he is identifying himself to be a doer only. Are you with me? That person is bound. Whereas the other person, he may do, he may not do, but inside
there is no bind,
there is no Kartrutva Bhava. So what binds you is your Kartrutva Bhava.
Attitude.
Action per se doesn't bind you. This is what we need to understand. And this is precisely why we say, action cannot give you stress.
Yes.
It is your attitude. And therefore we explain with the example, saying that if your approach to work was labor approach, then the work will give you stress. If your approach to work was love approach, then the work will not give you stress. So the example given is, a lady is asked to carry 10 kilograms of weight up the hill, and she does it and she says, oh my god, it's burdening, burdensome, troublesome, tiresome and all that. Same lady next day is carrying the same uphill, her own child. That work is not burdensome because there is love. So where there is love means there is no expectation. Where there is labor or labor is the way we are using, don't go by the dictionary meaning. Right? Lust, upbringing lust. Where there is lust, there is something you are expecting from the world. Means you are imagining yourself to be this egoistic individual, the ego, basically the
body, mind, intellect complex. Since you think that you are the body, mind, intellect complex, and work is becoming a means for you to achieve something to satisfy the body, mind, intellect.
Yeah.
So then you are approaching work with expectation as a beggar, not as a master. The master approaches work as a giver, as a sportsman. He is not there with an asking spirit. You understand? Therefore, this asking spirit binds you. So he says, hear what he says. Yes. Therefore, anything you do, understand that you are not the doer. In the beginning, what happens is, how do you understand that you are not the doer? So he says, see, everything is done by God. You are not the doer. Who is behind you? Sun revolving, this, that, etc., etc., they keep talking. So, initially a person may understand as God doing or the totality doing. Right? So, in the beginning, whatever it is, he says, I am not the doer, totality is the doer. Then, slowly his understanding will come there. He understands that even God is not the doer and I am God. It is the Prakriti that is
doer.
Manifesting and unmanifesting. We only are combination of Prakriti and Purusha. All that we will talk later. So slowly the understanding will be even deeper. So initially you will think maybe some power is there which you call as God or totality or whatever that is doing and I am not the doer. Right? Fine. Even that understanding is fine. Because ultimately what is important is you have to do the action without kartrutva. And when you do such action and you experience the taste in such actions, why would you want to go back to the action doing it with kartrutva? When you have tasted something higher, you will never go back to the lower things. Even in the material world, having experienced the higher things, you do not want to go back to the lower. And then your understanding becomes deeper and deeper and deeper, which slowly it takes you in the Gita. Then you will see that it is the Swabhava, the Prakriti manifesting and unmanifesting. I am not the doer. I is the pure consciousness of God, which is not the doer. Your identification will slowly be with the divinity, which is not the doer. So we say, in a relative sense, in the modern context, we say, you identify with some larger cause. If you are working in an organization, you identify with the larger cause, which is the organization's cause, not my immediate promotion, or my immediate salary increase, my immediate bonus, or whatever. Right? You are thinking in terms of what I can give for the organization. My role in the organization as a manager, as a supervisor, as a director or whatever it is, what is my role, what is that I am supposed to be doing for the organization. When I do that, organization, when everybody in the organization does like that, organization prospers. And I am also not thinking in terms of my personal angle. Therefore, my personal vasana are also slowly drop away. That's once you are established at that level, then you escalate from an organization to something else. Finally you will come to the whole universe. By the time your jnana has increased so much because of the purification that you are clearly able to see that Swabhava is manifesting and unmanifesting. I, the Atma, in me, in all of us, are only a is only a non-doer. The doer is vasana is manifest, guna is manifest, and actions are there and goes back. That's all. So he completely remains a witness. So he's talking about one such person in verse 17 and 18. यस्वात् मरति रेव स्यात् यस्वात् मरति रेव स्यात् आत्मतृप्तश्च मानवः आत्मतृप्तश्च मानवः आत्मन्येव च सन्तुष्टः आत्मन्येव च सन्तुष्टः तस्य कार्यं न विद्यते तस्य कार्यं न विद्यते यस्वात् मरति रेव स्यात् आत्मतृप्तश्च मानवः आत्मन्येव च सन्तुष्टः तस्य कार्यं न विद्यते.
I think we already chatted, but it doesn't matter. Because of the question we did once more.
But the man who rejoices in the self, not in the senses. In the previous verse he talked about one who rejoices in the senses. Now here you must recollect what we discussed about Dhara and Radha. Dhara and Radha, you know that? Dhara means flow. Flow of thoughts from you to the world outside. Radha means the opposite. Dhara, Radha. Understand? Flow of thoughts are now within you. So he's talking, in the previous verse he talked about Dhara case. Now he's talking about Radha case. So he's saying, but the man who rejoices in the self, within himself, is satisfied in the self and is contented in the self alone. Not in achieving anything worldly. He has understood the truth about the world and divinity, the self within. So he rejoices in the self, satisfied in the self, content in the self. Meaning his body, mind and intellect is only functioning in the world as an instrument, not as a ego complex. You understand? Like, he doesn't understand that he is body, mind, intellect. He is very clear that the body, mind, intellect are only the instrument. And they are functioning in this world, doing what it's supposed to be doing. So he is not trying to find satisfaction, fulfillment, rejoice in the bodily, mental, intellectual pleasures, emotions, delights, etc. He is satisfied in the Atma. Atma Trittascha Manava. Atma Trittri. He is doing it for his Atma Trittri, not to please anybody else. We are doing everything to please something or the other, not for our Atma Trittri. Right? We are trying to do actions to please our body, to please our mind, to please our intellect. So he is talking about Atma Tripti. Are you doing your actions for Atma Tripti? And what do you understand as Atma? That is another problem. I understand Atma as body, mind, intellect. Then I will be doing Atma Tripti for body, mind, intellect. Are you with me? If I understand my Atma to be the self and body, mind, intellect to be something other than that, then I will only do it for the Atma sake, not for the body, mind, intellect sake. So that's what he is saying. In our case, you are constantly fulfilling the demands of the body, mind and intellect. That is what he spoke about in verse number 16. One who rejoices in the senses. Why? Because he, out of ignorance, believes himself to be this body, mind, intellect. As long as you think that you are body, mind, intellect, you are going to be doing actions only to fulfill the
satisfaction
of the body, mind, intellect. Nothing else. So you don't know anything else. Out of ignorance. That is why Veda says, if somebody is being functioning like that, they are functioning because they are ignorant. But a jnani, he is comparing ajnani and jnani. There are only two categories of people. Ajnani, jnani. Okay. A jnani who is given to action, jnani who is given to sannyas. Are you with me? A jnani can be in the grahastha ashrama, a jnani can be in sannyas ashrama. He is doing everything in the grahastha ashrama, but inside he is very, very clear that he is Atma. A jnani who is in sannyas ashrama, he is not doing that much activity, but inside him also he is very clear, I am Atma. This is what I explain to you. Some people may not do any action, but inside they think they are
this body mind complex, they are the doer, at the moment they are not doing anything. Which is totally different from Jnani, who may be doing, who may not be doing, but inside is very clear about what is Atma. Means who am I? Today I am thinking myself to be Sadhana, Shweta, Anu. But I understand that this is only a name given to this what?
To this body.
Maker. The body mind intellect complex. And beyond this body mind intellect complex, there is what is called as Atma. And that Atma is the permanent factor. All these are impermanent factor. And therefore, once you start identifying with that permanent fact, then for him there is nothing to be done.
Tasya karyam na vidyate.
For him there is nothing to be done. Atma is paripurna. When Atma is paripurna, there is no incompleteness there to be doing something to make it complete. When a person is ignorant of the fact that he is complete, he imagines himself to be incomplete. And out of that incompleteness, his thoughts run towards the world and he is constantly trying to fulfill his desires. The more he fulfills, the more he feels incomplete, the more he wants. So he gets caught in this cycle. So when a person understands that he is complete, he has no desire to do, he has no desire not to do. He has no interest in doing anything for his sake. Now these three verses need to be understood correctly. Otherwise you will be in big trouble. Why? Because he has no interest. No, a lot of people misunderstand these verses and say, what kind of a person is he? He has no interest. They misunderstand him to be somebody like indifferent person. Right? Now we need to understand two factors. We'll read verse 18 also and then I'll explain, because both are talking about the same person. Naiva tasya krute nartaha, naiva tasya krute nartaha, na krute neha kashchana, na krute neha kashchana, na chasya sarva bhuteshu, na chasya sarva bhuteshu, kaschidartavya pashrayaha, kaschidartavya pashrayaha, naiva tasya krute nartaha, na krute neha kashchana, na chasya sarva bhuteshu, kaschidartavya pashrayaha. For him there is no interest whatever here in what is done or what is not done, nor does he depend upon any being for any object. Okay. Now this is what I am saying, this, he has no interest in doing or not doing. All these things can create misunderstanding in oneself. Oh, that means Atma, the fellow who is realized, he will be totally useless fellow sitting doing nothing. That is not how it is to be understood. What he is saying here is, when a person's jnanam gets deeper and deeper, he understands that himself to be Atma and not this body mind intellect, he starts understanding that the interaction of this body mind intellect with the world as a sport. Till then, whole thing depends on the world. Please understand this. When the temperature in the world goes high, it affects the body. And when you have identified yourself as a body, then that affects
mind.
You. But you have identified yourself to be the body. So when the world temperature goes up, it affects
you.
Because you wrongly understood yourself to be the body. Similarly, when you wrongly understand yourself to be the mind, then the joy and sorrow affects you. Really, you are dependent on the world. when the identification is with the body, mind, intellect. But when the identification is with the Atma, there is no dependence. The world is going to be the same. In other words, what he is saying is, world will continue to have heat and cold waves. World will continue to bring joy and sorrow. If a centralized soul goes and lives in a desert, you mean to say suddenly the weather condition will totally change? The weather condition is going to be same. Are you with me? See, understand it in a relative sense. Even temporarily, if your identification shifts to a larger cause, small things don't bother you. Like lyrics from Vivekananda, this is example. He says a lady used to walk from her village to work in another village every day morning and get back before the sundown. And because she had to go through the forest in between, so she had to get back before the sundown, otherwise the wild animals might come and eat her. One day she was coming back with her child also, and every time she used to come before, she used to run to say, because she scared that the tiger might come or something like that. Today she was coming with her child, and actually a lion came, and she was trying to protect the child, and she was fighting with the lion, and she was ready to die but to save the child. So Swami Vivekananda asks, where this courage came? Because the identification became slightly higher. You understand? The moment you identify with something higher, small little things don't bother you, even greater things don't bother you. You're ready to share, isn't it? You are ready to be without eating, because there is only this much food. I will wait till the food gets cooked. Otherwise, no. My needs has to be fulfilled first. I don't care about others. The grosser the ego, the greater the dependence. When the ego is slowly, slowly, slowly diluted and almost zero, and finally when it is dissolved, then imagine there is no dependence whatsoever. So he is talking about that when he says he has no interest, meaning he understands that it is a play between body, mind, intellect and the world, and I am the witness. Remember this, one fellow is attached, other fellow is trying to run away from the world. One fellow is attached to the world, he is running after the world. Another fellow is running away from the world. You are both. You are trying to run after certain things. You are trying to run away from certain things. So you are basically a running after running away person. Right? At the same time, there is something in you watching this running after and running away tamasha, witnessing this running after running away tamasha. Are you with me? So today you are either a running after running away individual, but if you go a little deeper, you are witnessing the mind wanting to run after pleasure and run away from pain. He is disinterested in both. You understand? So he is talking about that condition. Who has become total witness and not dependent? And without depending, as long as he is in this world with this body, mind, intellect being the instrument, he interacts with the world as a sports person does. For him the world becomes Leela. Sports person also, in sport also you must understand one thing. Whenever we say sport, we should not forget that sport is also played within certain rules. Don't forget that. So in this world, he understands this is a play of body, mind, intellect and the world, the gunas and everything. I am
different from all this. Read me, I am different from all this. And he understands that there is this order. And whenever the body, mind, intellect functions in the world, he plays within the rules of that order. That's all he is trying to say in this. If you understand what he is saying here, this much only he is saying. In our case, because we have identified with body, mind, intellect, we are running away and running out. In this case, Atma Dhruti, means he is looking at everything from Atma. Atma is watching the tamasha. When we do meditation, you sit down quietly and observe the thoughts coming and going. Coming and going. Then you see, I am the observer and not the observed. Observe is the thoughts. They come and go. The thought can be good, bad, ugly. The texture of thoughts, the gunas are varying, different. But I am not the gunas. I am the witnessing factor of the gunas. Are you with me? So when the gunas are playing in this world, then there is what? Rules, within the rules the gunas are playing. In chemistry, when Na meets with Cl, it brings NaCl. When Na meets with something else, there is an order, within the order. But it is all the play of elements. It is all the play of gunas, the permutation combination. Once they understand this tamasha, I am going to be playing the game in the spirit of a sportsman, understanding that everything is playing within certain order, and I will respect that order, I will respect that wheel of dharma and play within that. Before, everything depends on this. My whole life. Oh, barbaad ho gaya. Or, oh, amazing.
Awesome.
Bill Gates was going to come to me next city, but by mistake he came to my city. Very good. You are not worried about you didn't go there. You are very happy that he came here. So in other words, because your identification is only that much. So when your interest becomes higher and higher, the lower things you become detached. You can clearly see this. Those experiences cannot be understood by the person who is stuck at the lower level. This is where our difficulty comes in understanding these verses. But with examples, it is made easy to understand. But still, practically, we don't have that experience because we are not Atma Buddhas. Our identification is still with the body, mind, intellect. That is why, because you have been constantly moving with people who say, "Are you? What happened? You lost weight? Are you? You put on weight?" You understand? Oh, you have gone gray, your hair has gone gray. So constantly everybody is identifying you with the body. Your whole life you have been identifying like that. Now, suddenly because you started learning from Bhagavad Gita class one day and you know, these things are not going to go away. Therefore, they say you have to go on immersing yourself in this direction. Then you will become Atma Tripta. You will start understanding what they are saying. Just here, there, one lecture, one reading is not enough. But even if a doubt is created in you, how is the doubt created? How does the Shastra create doubt in you? By making you question your beliefs. Something will happen in life which will make you question your beliefs.
in the movie Kung Fu Panda 2.
I just saw it.
Right. The Kung Fu Panda doesn't know his actual parents. Right? But something happens in his life, then the question comes.
Then the doubt is there. Maybe what I am believing myself to be, all my beliefs may be wrong. We don't question our beliefs at all. We take many things for granted. That is where the problem comes.
An ignorant person takes many things for granted. Right? So, the Kung Fu Panda then asked his father. The father says, yes, I'm not your actual father. But he also doesn't know who the actual father, real father is. Right? So that's how the story goes. So in other words, our beliefs, we are believing ourselves to be what all beliefs we have. I'm the body. I am the mind. I am the intellect. I am Baniya. I am Kshatriya. I am Dukkha personified. I am Sukha personified very rarely. I am a man. I am a woman. These are all things that one, anything but matter. Whatever beliefs they are, I can do this, I can't do this.
This is
wrong. See, in the schools, I say this to the children. What is an exam? What is an exam?
A test of what you know.
Test of what you
know. What you know.
What you learn.
What you learn.
What you know. What you understood. Test of what you are now. Not what your potential is. That's all. Believe me. In the exam, if you get only 40%, that is what you know now, or that is what you express in the paper. Sometimes it is not what you know also, because sometimes what happens, you are disturbed. So in the tension you are writing the exam, so you may only put forth that much. Your understanding may be 60%. But what you put forth there was only 40%, because you have some disturbance over there. But the disturbance is removed, 60% comes. But that 60% also is not your full potential. This is what a teacher is supposed to instill in the child. Oh, he is only like that. He is only 40. Then you also believe, yes, I am only 40. Why? Because my husband says so. Because my wife says so. Because my teacher has said that. My society has said I am only fit for this much. Huh? You are useless for business. You are only good for this. Everybody says that. Are you with me? This is what probably you are also believing now.
Conditioning.
Your belief is what is going to come as truth. So you can only change your beliefs by questioning the fundamentals. So if you question and you understand, well, this is not my potential. My potential is infinite. Are you with me? So somebody who's understood by going deeper and deeper, he clearly sees this as a play of interaction of the elements in the body, mind and intellect, and the elements in the world. The play of elements. Everything is play of elements. Then he is the witness of this play. But this play also happens with certain rules as background. In order, in certain order basically. It's not a chaos, it's a cosmos. It happens beautifully in an order. Right? So once you understand that, then you continue playing the game, but your whole satisfaction is not dependent on winning or losing. That is inside. That the tripti comes from inside, not from winning or losing. In the other case, the tripti coming from winning only. Losing, a tripti comes. This is all you see. So, when Arjuna asked in the beginning of the third chapter, you are forcing me to do action when you are facing knowledge. What should I do this Gorakarma? Explain. Then Krishna said, there are two kinds of people, extrovert and introvert. But path is only one. What is that path? Solution is only jnana. Remember this fundamental, you should not forget. What is the fundamental? You are Atma. You are believing yourself to be body mind intellect. What do you mean? You are believing yourself to be body mind intellect. You don't have to attain Atmahood. You are Atma. So the problem is not that you are not Atma. The problem is that you don't understand that you are Atma. You are ignorant of the fact that you are Atma. So therefore the solution is what? Jnana. What jnana? That I am. So for school child, when you talk, what do you say? You are infinite potential. Every child is infinite potential. Take care. Only this much potential has been expressed, and you start seeing and believing that to be yourself. You are seeing this body and believing that you are this body. Exactly the child has seen 20 marks, 30 marks. Then the child thinks, I am that. It creates its own normal. When the child starts creating its normal, it's like thermostat in the air conditioner. Thermostat cuts off. So the child can't even believe, even if sometimes by fluke or by mistake the teacher has given 40 marks instead of 35, it can't be me. So even at sometimes by chance the potential expresses itself more, oh, I am not that. So what happens? Again it adjusts back to 35. Are you with me? So the child needs to be explained. Listen, this is what you express and this is not you. You are infinite potential.
In the mother's feet.
So in Vedanta, Vedanta explains to you by saying, see, you are not this body. You in fact say many times, my body is aching. For example, today this hair is you. Right? This hair is you. It's come from the body. It is you. When it is grown too much, you know, cut it. So this is not you. This is something that is changing. This is something that you possess. You are the changeless entity which is able to see these changes. Are you with me? So the mind, when you say my body, the person who is claiming to be mine is different, no? Body is different. Similarly, my mind, my intellect, mind becomes the object, you are different, etc. In so many ways, they go on explaining to you to make you understand that you are something other than the body, mind and intellect. And body, mind, intellect is made up of what? Gunas. Elements and gunas. What is the world made up of? Elements and gunas. So the play of elements and gunas is what is happening. I am the witness. So you remain a witness when the play is happening. When you don't remain a witness, when you don't understand that you are the witness, then you are either the you are there like body mind intellect. Then pleasure matters to you. Profit, loss, every joy, sorrow, you are dependent on it. You are dependent on somebody wishing you on your birthday. You are dependent on somebody sending condolence message. You are not dependent. You accept
gracefully the wishes and condolences, but you are never
affected.
You understand the order is going on. This is all he's saying in some divinity. So, in other words, he, when he says for him, there is no interest whatever here in what is done and what is not done, not that he depend upon any being for any object. He is not saying that he will not be functioning in the world. He will be functioning according to his role. If he was a sannyasi, his functioning will be different kind of functioning. Something will be doing. Right? Whatever it might be, the umpire has a role to play in the game. Keeper has a role to play. The linesman has a role to play. Everybody has a role to play. The players have a role to play. Right? So, therefore, the record keeper has to maintain the records. Everybody does. A sannyasi does his role. Jnani does his role. It really doesn't matter whether they are remaining as a sannyasi or a jnani. What matters is inside they remain as a witness, not as a guru. So a sportsman or an actor, common examples given are these. Actor on the stage. Is he dependent on what is happening on the stage? As per his role, he doesn't. The director knows this is a play. Actors know this is a play. The cameraman knows this is a play. Everybody knows this is a play. But each one does their role. That's it. So he has no interest, means he has no dependence. Why? All that he is trying to say is he understands that these are plays of elements and gunas. I am a witness, not the doer. So basically, this whole portion, Lord Krishna is answering Arjuna by saying, Jnanam is the only path. But in the beginning, your Jnanam is not well established. So you keep doing, dedicating it for a higher cause. Play your role. You will, from the Ashrama, you might go to Sannyasa Ashrama later, but that is irrelevant. But what is relevant is doing without worship. So, Jnana Yogena Sankhyata Karma Yogena Yogina. So now you do the action without the doership, rather than what you are about to do was running away but with doership. See the difference. One doesn't want to do but keeps the doership. Other wants to do, or other does, other wants to do, other does but without doership. Which is better? One gives but with possessiveness. I'll explain to you. One does, one gives but with possessiveness. Meaning what? Understand it like what they call as delegation. You delegate your work to your secretary or somebody. You say, see, this is the objective. I want to achieve this objective. This is where we have to get to. And you have this much time. Right? And I suppose you know how to do that. And whatever resource you want, whether you want to bring more people to help you, computer, jokes, let me know. And whatever she asks you, given, then you, I hope you understood. Do you want my help? Any explanation? She says no, and you leave her. Next morning you call her. Excuse me, what have you done? I have written this, sir. Show it to me. I said, I know. I said. Then, usko ye ne, maine ye bola, you go and get this. Why did you tell him that? Call him that. Is this delegation? Read me. You have given, explain. Wait. Read me.
Then it doesn't have to necessarily be your way if you've given. If you've given, it doesn't necessarily have to be done your way.
Exactly. You've given it. You relax now. Everything will go on interfering. So similarly, lot of people give. I'm coming to that point. Lot of people give. What do they put condition?
You must do it.
Means what? In my money, which I have given to you, still it is my money. Once you have given your money, I'm just giving an example of giving money to understand, to drive home this point. Once you have given,
it's not yours.
It is not yours. Even when you are giving, it is not yours. It is being given through you, technically. If you have wisdom, you understand that. It is given through you, you are only an instrument. It's not yours. In fact, a true giver, that is why we say in this world there are no givers. There are givers, two kinds of givers. One kind of giver is that kind of fellow who will give and what did you buy with that? What did you buy? How did you know to buy that? Give it back. It's almost amounting to say give it back.
You understand? Next time I'm not giving. So in our work, this is one category.
Another category is they give at no conditions, but they think they are giving their property. Better than the first category, but still they are jnanis. The real jnani, who is a real giver, he understands nothing is mine. I am Atma. It is coming through this combination, it is going. I am only an instrument. It's happening through me. This is what Krishna is explaining to Arjuna. You are thinking, you are killing them. A doctor may think, I am saving the patient. He is not saving the patient. He is an instrument. You understand? Similarly, a warrior thinks, I am killing. You are an instrument. Order is being maintained. It's a very, very interesting thing. How beautiful. Each and every cell in our body is intelligent. Somebody who is doing research in chemistry, PhD there, she was telling me very interesting things. How elements and everything in nature tries to utilize minimum energy and achieve its purpose. The whole thing is conserving energy. They are talking about how intelligently the ion exchange happens. You understand? It suits where the energy is minimum wasted. It's intelligently, beautifully done. It's all happening in the order. In the order, it happens through you today. Arjuna, you gave some donation to somebody, it happened through you. You are an instrument. Once you understand that, you are a true giver. With that understanding, now can you not accept also? If I am accepting, I am taken. That's another, then he is also ignorant. Just like how I am an instrument when giving is happening, I am an instrument when taking is also happening. The exchange is happening between the elements. I am only an instrument. So that sort of a taker is actually not a taker. He is a giver. Because he is a witness. These are all things that you need to understand. So what Krishna is saying is, basically what matters is not what you do. He is not at all concerned about doing, he is concerned about being. So he says in verse 13 and 18, once a person has reached that being core, he is not interested in doing. He is only concerned about the doership. You say, condolences. You have to say heartfelt condolences. Right? Welcome. Warm welcome. What is all this? Hearty welcome. Warm welcome. Hearty congratulations. Heartfelt condolences. What do you understand from this? So, in other words, the act of condolence, the act of congratulation means nothing. Does it come from?
Within.
The inside is what matters. Outside doesn't matter. Action of giving or taking doesn't matter. Action of killing or not killing doesn't matter. What matters is inside, are you a doer or not a doer? If you are not a doer, then you are not interested in the doing. If you are interested in the, still interested in the doing, it means inside you are keeping the doer shape. Why? Because you are still ignorant. So what do you have to do? Go to Bhagavad Gita class. Listen to that. That's all it is. So he said, Arjuna, the problem is the doership. See, think about this. Duryodhana is an evil source, evil person. Okay. When an evil person dies, what does he carry? When anybody dies, doesn't matter, what does he carry really?
Nothing.
Yes, we talk about three C's. We talk about container, content, and consciousness. When a person dies, what happens?
Container.
What one person dies? Because everybody does not. Nobody can be found out who is saying the right thing. One person at a time. Yes, what is it?
Container is gone. Content is gone. Where your consciousness is there. You can carry part of the thing in your body. I don't know. I think only consciousness remains.
Container
is gone.
Is there. Means
physically.
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 Consciousness is also there. What is more?
Content.
This is probably the 100th time we are doing this. Content is moving. What is the content?
Body
is the container.
What is that? Mind.
Mind intellect is the content. What is the mind made up of? Intellect made up of?
Vasanas
and gunas. What do you take when you die? Gunas. Your sattva rajas tamas. When wealth is lost, have you heard the quotation? I am also answering the question now. By this discussion, I am answering the question. Okay? What was the question? What factors do you consider versus your wealth? What is the real wealth in other words? The quotation says, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost,
everything is lost.
You heard that quotation now?
Yeah.
When people were forcefully made to migrate from India to Pakistan and Pakistan to India during partition, they came with nothing. All their wealth till date was taken away. Understand? Supposing somebody accuses you wrongly, you know that you have not done that crime, but you are accused and circumstantial evidences and everything is like that. Right? So the court said, freeze all his accounts. Doesn't that happen? Freeze, I'm not even talking about death, I'm talking about freezing, everything is frozen. What you have, what are you left with now?
Character.
The self-confidence, the zeal to stand up and fight, the courage, the self-reliance, the ability to work, the clarity, these are the things that you have. This is your real wealth. So when these people migrated from Pakistan to India, India to Pakistan, they came with nothing. I'm seeing so many people in Delhi who are coming like that. There's nothing. I'm there when they're prison again and they're starting themselves and they've gone much bigger, grown much bigger. How? What did they have? Because their focus was on the character, the roots. Today we are all focusing on the fruits. Understand? Therefore, how am I connecting that here? So what you carry forward is only the gunas. Remember that. What you carry forward is only the gunas. So if your gunas, what are the gunas made up of? Sattva, rajas, tamas. Right? So when you are living in this world, you should be increasing your sattva, decreasing your rajas and tamas. In fact, eliminating tamas as much as possible. Decreasing rajas. And
increasing
sattva. But if you are not doing that, you are wasting your time. Because you have not understood that is the real world. Instead of doing that, what are you doing? Collecting paper. Printed paper. Printed paper has a role to play in the external world. Understand that? But when the printed paper is lost, if you have acquired sattva, you know how to get it back. You understand what I am saying? I am not ridiculing the printed paper which we call as money. That is wrong. That's not what I am doing. But I am saying that the printed paper has a role to play. You understand? If you have lost the sattva, if you have lost the character, the whole thing is wrong. So even if that person understands this, he is not interested in the money coming, money going, money the bank balance. He is more concerned about inside. So what I am saying is always the inside that is important. And the inside most is the Atma, which is non-doer. When you got that knowledge, you even gone beyond sattva. You understand? When you gone beyond sattva, you gone to the extent of that understanding that I am Atma, which is non-doer. That person is satisfied only inside. Atma Tripti is there. Okay, wealth is gone. But my character is there. Swami Ramtita gives a beautiful example. He said one person threw a party, called all his friends, everybody came and everybody was enjoying and few people left also. One fellow said, "Hey, before I go, let me ask you, what is the reason for which he is throwing the party?" So he said, "Hey, why are you suddenly called for this party? What is the occasion? What is the reason?" He said, "See, you don't know I bought recently this new S500. Yeah. What happened? Met with an accident, serious accident, you know, and completely crashed. And the insurance can only give this much or whatever, but it's gone, finished. What do you mean? It's finished and you are throwing a party for that? You see, I was sitting in a car. I escaped without a small scratch. Isn't it an occasion to celebrate? The inside, I was there. Supposing I died and the car was, nothing happened. This is what we are doing. A wise person, he understands the inside. Swami Ramtita gives this example. He said, I am not doing. This is game tamasha going on. So when the body dies also, I am not dying. When the body is born also, I am not being born. So when I have got this knowledge, my tripti is coming from inside. So he says, rejoicing in the self, content in the self, fulfilled in the self, satisfied in the self. That is what it means. Atma tripti. From body, you go to the emotional level. Your tripti is slightly inside. Bodily things are not taken care of, doesn't matter. From emotion you go to intellect. Emotional things, theek hai, no problem. You know, yesterday we were returning from this retreat from Rajasthan by train. About 30 of us. And then there was one girl, young lady. She's got a child and her husband. Both of them are working in Bichpira. She is a professor and doing research, PhD in Kanpur University. She is into some intellectual pursuits. She is talking about central nervous system and all that sort of a thing. Her contribution, she is loving that, and her contribution will be definitely great for the universe, whatever research she is doing. Now, the emotional thing of husband and child. Right? She comes and goes very often from Kanpur, and they also go whenever they try to meet as much as possible. But at the same time, she's able to take that separation. She was very cheerful. And she was saying this. Of course, she doesn't understand Vedanta and all that. Neither did we talk about Vedanta to her. Right. But she was very interestingly saying, see, my parents, my people may think that I am not doing my responsibility, this and that, but my husband is also PhD in physics. Our understanding is very clear. Our emotional relationship, everything is fine. But they are able to sacrifice the emotional thing, because their identification is intellectual. From intellect we go to Atma. He is talking about that here. In other words, only small thing is saying, you keep going deeper and deeper, higher and higher. The lower things, the grosser things have no interest to you. They merely become a play. Stomach is hungry, thoda khana de do. Khana mila, acha khana mila, theek hai. अच्छा कहा तो नहीं मिला तो ओके टेस्ट इज ओके ओके ठीक है फिर भी ठीक है कहा एक दिन नहीं मिला फिर भी ठीक है यू अंडरस्टैंड बट ही अंडरस्टैंड स्टमक द प्ले ऑफ प्ले बिटवीन स्टमक एंड द फूड एंड ही डज दैट प्ले इज नॉट दैट ही डजंट गिव फूड टू हिज स्टमक सो एग्जैक्टली लाइक दैट ही टेक्स केयर ऑफ ऑल हिज बॉडी एंड इमोशनल एंड फिजिकल इंट्रैक्शन दैट नीड्स टू बी गिवन टू देम दे गिव ही गिव्स But he totally remains a witness. His satisfaction is coming not from the quality of the world that he is able to experience. The quality of Atma is giving him that satisfaction. You understand? Yeah. Then you will be ready to travel in any vehicle. Otherwise, only that vehicle will give you the pleasure. Only that food, dependence. See, the more spiritually you grow, the more independent you become. How do you measure your spiritual growth? Understand? So, when you are 0% developed, 100% dependent you are. On the world. When you are 25% developed, 75% dependence. 50% developed, 50% dependence. 100% developed, 0% dependence. He is talking about 100% developed individual who is not at all dependent. Not at all dependent means what? World thereafter starts becoming a sports arena. Sports arena.
Leela.
That's all. Let's chant verse number 9. तस्मादतत्तत्सततम् कार्यं कर्म समाचर कार्यं कर्म समाचर असतो 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 आचरन् कर्म असतो आचरन् कर्म परमाप्नोति पुरुषः परमाप्नोति पुरुषः तस्मादसक्तसततम् कार्यं कर्म समाचर असतो आचरन् कर्म परमाप्नोति पुरुषः तस्मात् देयरफोर इट्स अ लॉजिकल कंक्लूजन Therefore, Krishna is saying, without attachment, tasma asatta satatam karma. Satatam means always. Always do your karma activities according to the role. Always perform actions which should be done. Which should be done means according to your Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Grahastha, Brahmacharya, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, whatever student, teacher, whatever role assigned to you due to your nature, situation, you do it. You may be a scientist. But in a family get together, you are assigned to do some job. Do it. So that's what he's saying. Without attachment. Asakta satata. For by performing action without attachment, man reaches supreme. So what is Krishna's emphasis here? The word?
Non-attachment.
Asakta. Without attachment. So he is not concerned about what you are doing. we hear that Hitler was a vegetarian. So find out whether it is truth or not. If somebody told me Hitler was a vegetarian. See, so many people are like that, you know. Many people are givers, they are not givers, like I explained to you. So many charitable organizations are like this. They are only doing it for ostentatious things, you know. It's not really charity. There may be somebody else taking, like I explained to you, externally, but actually they are not takers. It's an interesting concept. That's why this can only be communicated if you have a little bit of thinking. How do you talk about this? Because if a person will know only by what he sees. Later on in the 18th chapter, Krishna is going to talk about sattvic knowledge, rajasic knowledge, tamasic knowledge. Tamasic knowledge, he says, is that which understands everything perverted, uta. Tamasic intellect. Tamasic knowledge is blowing the path as a whole. Perception. In my perception, I saw one fellow drinking milk sitting under a coconut tree. So I say he is drinking toddy. Someone say, I would know that person is very bad. He is drinking toddy. So I mean a dekha. What do you want? Understand? What do you mean a dekha? Is drinking white liquid? Really? So therefore, we are people who believe things that we see. You need to question and go deeper. When you start questioning, your beliefs start changing. That is why some people say, I told you not to go to these classes. They will make you question. You are going to be a troublemaker. Children are troublemakers in many houses. Why? Because they question, why are you doing this puja every day? All the more they question you. Why? Because they know what kind of charity you are doing. Some children have spoken to me also. My dad, I am telling you, one fellow is telling me. He is such a, you will all say he is very nice fellow, but I know about my dad. He's telling, I mean, he's not having love, he's seeing what is happening. You understand? So basically, this disparity, this dishonesty, and believing mechanically, they don't want to. They say, okay, we may be going to discotheque and this and that, but we are honest. These people are in the puja room, maybe, but they are not honest. What nonsense is this? You understand what I'm saying? So basically this is exactly what Krishna is also saying. But somebody has to explain to them. Then they will get interested in the Gita and say, oh, that's exactly what the Upanishadic masters are also saying. Mechanically doing rituals. Rituals are the role to play, but that doesn't mean mechanically doing or doing as if that is the end all and be all of life. That's what he spoke from verse 41 till 45, 46 in chapter 2. You can go back and refer to those verses. Verse 41 to 46, Krishna was continuing getting stuck to Veda Purva. Veda Purva is all these rituals. Getting stuck. So he said, what is the use of the convent when the whole village is flooded? You remember the verse 46? She explained. You can go back to the lecture if you want to listen to it. That is all recorded, as you can see. So, in other words, the main thing is under. Bahar is not important. And under, innermost is atma.
But I think until that understanding is reached, then we have to specify the externals.
That's why they said, don't have to donate everything and go away. First, make your position strong inside, then outside really doesn't matter. The inside position has to become strong, that is when you go to school. Rather, that's the meaning of going to school. They gain inner strength. Inner strength when you gain, outer facility things doesn't really matter. Till then, keep it going. Lot of people say, oh, I find no meaning in these things, I want to give it away. Excuse me, you still not got inner strength. You not got inner strength. How do you know? You not give it away. Either some people give it away impulsively. That is another case. Impulsively they'll give it away and then they'll sit in
somebody. See it.
So therefore don't you to give away. When you got the inner strength, you know. Question asked, how is the inner strength got or not known? It is like asking a pregnant lady asking the doctor, doctor, please let me know, or how will I know when I get labor pain? Doctor says, not only you know, the whole world knows when you get the labor pain. Isn't it? See, the way she will shout, the whole hospital will know. Right? So, in other words, when you got inner strength or not, you know. If you have doubt,
you don't have it.
Remember what Socrates said. When fellow goes and asks, sir, should I get married or not? He says, by all means get married. The very fact that he is having doubt, that means he is not capable of being single. So he says, by all means get married. If you get a good wife, you will be happy. If you get a bad one, you become a philosopher. So either way, it's okay. Have you?
पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति शांति शांति.